I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me. Book of Revelation, chapter number 20, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Revelation, chapter number 20. Begin reading in verse number 1. Revelation 20 and verse number 1. John's writing through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. What a vision God's given him. Revealed wondrous things to him. We're coming down to the end of these things. And he says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his marks upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, encompassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we think about how you humbled yourself and came into this world, Lord, in a lowly stable. Lord, we think about how you lived a perfect life, how you died on the cross for our sins, how you rose again the third day and promised you'd come back. Lord, tonight as we see, as you come back to this earth, set up a kingdom, Lord, may we realize that you're always true to your promises, that we need to live for you, tell others about you, and be faithful to the things you'd have us to be faithful to. I pray for the power of the Spirit of God tonight. Do something great and mighty in our midst. Lord, we'll thank you for all that's accomplished. Lord, help us to take away from this exactly what we need, that we might know thee better, understand thy word in a greater way, to make a difference in the world we're living. First, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We've seen now the Battle of Armageddon come to an end. We've watched the bloody battle and the Feast of the Fowls has taken place. The beast and the false prophet have already been cast into a lake of fire, the Bible says, that's burning with brimstone. The next thing to happen is what we've read about tonight. The next thing in the order of events of the future is wondrous. It's amazing what we're getting ready to see. I want to preach to you tonight just for a few minutes on the millennial kingdom of Christ. This is a time, no doubt, that's yet in the future. Some would have you believe that we're living in it now, but that's not what the Bible teaches us. So as we look at this tonight, I want you to realize that these future events are things that will take place. We may not all know all the content. We may not know all the way things will happen. But I'll tell you what we do know. We do know what the Bible teaches us, and it's clear and it's specific. And we can put our faith and trust in what the Bible says. So as we think about the millennial kingdom of Christ, I want you to think about this. I want you to think first of all about the beginning of the millennial kingdom. The beginning of the millennial kingdom. The Bible says in verse number 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. So tonight we see the beginning of the millennial kingdom. And while the beast and the false prophet had been cast into the lake of fire, as we saw at the end of the battle of Armageddon, the head of the evil trinity is still around, isn't he? And tonight, before this millennial reign can take place, he has to be taken care of. Something has to be done with him. So while he's still around, he's not around for long. Because the Bible says that John sees an angel coming down from heaven with two things in his hand. Number one, he has the key to the bottomless pit. And number two, he has a great chain. And then what a sight it must have been, and what a thrill it must have been for John as he viewed what the angel does with that key and with that great chain. I'm telling you, I believe John was excited, don't you? I believe he was thrilled to see what was happening and what was unfolding before his eyes. So John, he describes the event for us. He says, I seen an angel coming down. He had in his hand a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And then John describes that evil one for us one more time. It seems like he does that for us quite a bit, just to remind us of who he is. And these titles that he gives him is really, in essence, it's a summary of the life and the works of that wicked one that we're talking about. Notice what he says. It says he laid hold on the dragon, and that speaks of his cruelty. And we're reminded of that all throughout the Bible. And then he calls him that old serpent, and that's that cunning and crafty deceitfulness. You remember that it was a serpent that Satan used in the garden to beguile Eve, and we remember that. And then he calls him the devil. The devil's the tempter and the false accuser of the brethren. He's our enemy tonight, isn't he? And then the Bible calls him Satan, and that's the adversary. He's the adversary to everything that's right. He's the adversary to Christ, he's the adversary to those of us that are saved, and he's the adversary that tried to keep us from being saved to begin with. Well, this angel has these keys in his hand and has this chain in his hand, and the Bible says that the angel from heaven lays hold on the evil one, lays hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and he binds him in chains for 1,000 years. I'm telling you, John's excited about what John is seeing. He's excited about all that's transpiring. And the Bible teaches us that he lays hold on him and he binds him in chains for 1,000 years, and he also shuts him up in the bottomless pit and he sets a seal upon him. Satan tried to do that once to our Lord and Savior, didn't he? He thought he had defeated him, and you remember the Lord Jesus died on the cross and he was placed in the borrowed tomb, and Satan put a seal. He made sure that there was a great seal over top of the grave, but I want you to know the angels of hell could not hold him in. The soldiers, the enemies of Christ could not hold him in, and the great stone that was over the door could not hold him in, and Satan could not hold him in. But when God determined that Satan was going to be bound for 1,000 years in chains and put in a bottomless pit, and a seal was going to be put on top of it, I want you to know, for 1,000 years it held without any problems whatsoever. I'm glad to tell you tonight that God is still God and He's still able. Amen? So we look at this and we see that he binds him in chains and he puts him in a bottomless pit and he sets a seal upon his head. He's going to be there for 1,000 years, for the whole millennium. He'll not be able to deceive the nations that whole time that he's there in that bottomless pit. And while it's not the end, it will be a wonderful time on earth. There's no doubt. It'll be a great time for those that are here, won't it? And at the end of 1,000 years, he's going to be loosed for a little season. Next thing I want you to see is the duration and the events of the millennial kingdom. The Bible says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which did not worship the beast, neither his image, neither had received his marks upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You know, throughout the Bible, and especially we begin reading about it in the Old Testament, we read about God's promise that he would establish a kingdom on earth. And in this passage, we find the duration of this kingdom, 1,000 years. Now, a lot of people like to say, well, that's the only place you find it. It's the only one little obscure passage of Scripture, so surely it's not accurate. Well, that's about a foolish thing to say, isn't it? And 6 times in about 4 verses, he says 1,000 years. Now, I don't believe God would put an emphasis on something that he didn't mean. As a matter of fact, I don't believe God would allow anything in his word that he didn't mean. So we look at this tonight and we begin to see this throughout the Bible. We've heard of the kingdom, but now we know the duration of that kingdom. And we see 2 events described here that divide the millennium, that are divided by the millennium. We see, first of all, the first resurrection, and then we see another resurrection. We call it the second resurrection. And tonight, the first resurrection, we need to realize, is the resurrection of the just. It takes place in stages, if you will, because it includes different things, but it includes those that have died in Christ and are resurrected at the rapture before the tribulation. And here we find the Old Testament saints, as well as those that were martyred during the tribulation, they're resurrected. This is what the first resurrection is all about. It's called the resurrection of the just. And now the church is going to have a special place with Christ as well as the saints of the ages. We don't need to be jealous about that tonight. Everybody that's come to the Lord's come by grace through faith. We know that. But as we think about this, we realize that the church will have their place in this millennial kingdom, and the saints of the ages, the Old Testament saints, and these tribulation saints, they'll have their place in this millennial kingdom. And while the church has been bodily with Christ now for 7 years, according to the Bible, the saints from all the other ages now join them with him bodily. And they'll reign with the Lord for 1,000 years. And the Bible says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's a great thing. But 1,000 years after the first resurrection, there'll be another resurrection. This is a resurrection unto damnation, the Bible says. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 5 and verse number 29. The Bible says, verse number 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We have 2 resurrections here. If you compare Scripture with Scripture, we find that there is a dividing of these resurrections. There's 1,000 years in between the resurrection of the just and the resurrection unto damnation. And when we look at this, we realize that a lot of people like to argue about this. There are some people who try and teach of a general resurrection, where the saved and lost are resurrected at the same time. But it's clearly refuted here, as well as many other places in God's Word. Those of the first resurrection, the Bible says the second death will have no power. I'm glad about that, aren't you? The Bible says that we'll be priests of God and of Christ, and we'll reign with Him for 1,000 years. Now, there's different views on this reign. Many believe that our reign will be in the heavenly Jerusalem and we'll be able to move freely from the heavenly Jerusalem to the earthly Jerusalem. Some believe that we'll reign in the heavenly Jerusalem only. We'll be there for 1,000 years. While still others believe that we'll have places of authority and leadership here on earth during those 1,000 years. You know, mayor of Tampa, whatever, you know. All kinds of views. Now, I'll be honest with you. I cannot give you the best answer for that. But I want you to know something. Any one of them is all right with me. Because I'm going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. And whether I'm in the heavenly Jerusalem and that's where I stay, or whether I have that freedom to go back and forth, or whether I'm here ruling and reigning with access to heaven, and it doesn't matter. And I don't think that there's things that we're really going to understand until it happens anyway. You know? You ever talk to somebody like an expectant parent? And they'll say, what's it like raising children? And then you start explaining things and you're like, you just have to do it. And that's what it's going to be. We're not going to fully understand everything about this. But I'm going to tell you what, when we're there, we'll understand it fully. We won't have any problems then. So I'm not going to sit and argue and split hairs with people over how they feel about this or how they feel about that. I do know what the Bible says. The Bible says there's a resurrection of the just and a resurrection unto damnation. The Bible says there's 1,000 years that divide these resurrections. The Bible teaches us that those, the first resurrection are those that have put their faith in the Lord and have trusted Him as their Savior. Many were Old Testament saints. Many were the church, those that were raptured out before the tribulation, and many will be these that go through tribulation and they're martyred for their faith in the Lord. But these are all part of the first resurrection. But then after 1,000 years, there's going to be another resurrection. And that resurrection is going to be a resurrection unto damnation. It's not going to be a good one. This is the one that the power of the second death will be upon their lives. So we see the duration and the events of this millennial kingdom. It's an amazing thing. There's more arguments over something like this, and there's really not a whole lot given to a lot of the things other than the kingdom being set up in the Old Testament and then it's authorized again to us in the New Testament. But just, we don't know a whole lot about it. But I believe that it's going to be a great time. Then we read some strange things. I want you to see tonight the end of the millennial kingdom. The end of it. And the Bible says, verse 7, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. There's been a lot of people say, why was he loosed? Well, you know, I'd like to ask the Lord, why'd you let him loose the first time? Wouldn't you like to know that? But God is God. But there is a reason. We understand this as we study the Bible. Satan is loosed at the end of the 1,000 years. And dear friends, I want you to know he comes with a vengeance. Now he's fighting mad. He's been bound in chains for 1,000 years, sealed in a bottomless pit, and none of that did anything to mellow him. Because when he is loosed, he is coming out, and I'm telling you, he is ready to extend his fury upon God and upon anybody that wants to follow after God. What's going on? How does he gather people? How does he deceive the nations and people come and gather to battle? How in the world could something like that happen? You remember we've talked about people that are entered into the millennium. There's the Old Testament saints. There's the church. There's the martyred saints from during the tribulation. But don't forget, there was another group of people that made it through the tribulation that didn't die. We call them the tribulation saints. And they enter into the millennium with their natural bodies. But they've trusted the Lord. You understand that? Nobody goes into the millennium that's not put their faith in the Lord. You say, well, now, this is crazy. No, because in their natural bodies, they are able to multiply. They're able to bear children. And the Bible helps us to understand that there's going to be a number of people as the sand of the sea that's going to fight against God. So while these are here on earth and they're multiplying, they're in a place of a perfect kingdom. God has given them a place where the lamb and the lion lay together. Where the Lord Jesus Christ is in control. He's over the government. And when we think about all these things, we realize that these that are born during the millennium will have to be saved the same way everybody else has. They have to trust Christ. God is not a respecter of persons. They don't get a free pass. They still have that ability to sin. Isn't that amazing? Say, I don't understand. I wish I could understand it all. But they're born in this millennium and they have to trust Christ just like everybody else has had to. And I think what we see here tonight is the true depravity of the human heart. Because Satan is bound. Christ is reigning over the government. Peace is all around. And vicious animals don't even attack one another, much less people. I mean, we're talking about a perfect world. You'd think people would automatically trust Christ. How does it happen that they wouldn't? Many are going to go through the motions of doing good things only to give a feigned obedience to Him. Very pretentious, if you will. Because it's the right thing to do. Because it just seems, if they did anything else, they'd be out of line with everybody else. Think about it. Everybody comes into it. But this is 1,000 years. Imagine, just think about Adam and Eve, first two. And think about how many people were in the world 1,000 years. This is multitudes of people. And then they're going to be able to procreate. Untold amounts of people are going to be born. Now, not to us. You understand that, right? We have a glorified body now. These people still in their human body. We have a glorified body. These are the tribulation saints that came through the tribulation and they put their faith in the Lord. There was 144,000 we know of. There were those that went to the hills. There were those that remained in Jerusalem. And they put their faith in God and God protected them. God brought them through the tribulation. So we see that at the end of this millennial, Satan is released. And when he's released, these that have just done because they, because everybody else was doing it, these that just kind of followed the crowd and because there was really nothing bad to do. I mean, things weren't as available as they are now. Their true colors show. You say, how could something like that happen? Just like people you and I know today that go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, say the right things, act the right way, try to do everything, but there's never been a day in their life where they put their faith in Jesus Christ and they're playing a game. And it's easy to do something like that when you grow up in church. It's easy to play a game when you grow up in the house of God and you learn all the right words to say and all the right actions to make. It's a whole lot easier, isn't it? I was 18 years old before I got saved because I grew up in church. I grew up, my mom and dad got right with the Lord when I was about 11 years old. And then I learned how to do everything. I sang in the choir. I helped teach classes. I went out on the bus route. I did it. You name it, I did it. I was kind to people. When I got saved, everybody in the church said, If there was anybody that surprised us about getting saved, it's you. Because I knew how to play the game. I knew how to act like something I wasn't. God convicted me of that, and I trusted Him. Now I'm on my way to heaven. Well, you can imagine in a perfect environment what it's going to be like. See, our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. That's the heart of all mankind. God's not going to give these that are born during the millennial a different kind of heart than what He gave us. Or He'd be a respecter of persons. They'll have the same kind of heart Adam and Eve had. Well, yeah, but they were born in a perfect place. Oh, yeah, right. They were, weren't they? What'd they do? They sinned, didn't they? See, that's what's going to happen. That's where all these things come from. They're going to go through the motions and they'll do all these things, but they're going to give a feigned obedience to the Lord. And then they're going to come together. Just like Russia, the Bible teaches us in Ezekiel, will play a vital role in the time of tribulation by invading from the north and breaking a false peace that the Antichrist and shows the Antichrist two colors. Now, it's going to be used of the devil. Now, the Gog and Magog here is not the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel, because we know that that takes place during the tribulation. It's almost like I read one person writing it and said, we had one world war and they put a one after it. It's called World War I. Several years later, we had another war, and a lot of the same people were involved, and the same kind of actions and reactions were involved. And so you know what they did? They called it World War II. And they said, this is like Gog and Magog II, if you will. Because the rebellion and the spite that takes place with what we read about in Ezekiel, speaking of Gog and Magog, is going to be some of the same characteristics of people, because their true colors are going to show. They're going to act like one thing and then be something else. And these will come, the Bible says, as multitudes from the four corners of the earth. And they'll unite with Satan in his last attempt to overthrow God. How can that happen? It's just like a lot of people today. With their lips, they may praise Him, but their hearts are far removed from the Lord. In this final attempt to overthrow God, they gather together, the Bible says, around the beloved city, and no doubt they believe they can conquer. Finally, Satan in his fury and in his anger. I mean, this is a guy that just, he never realizes he's inferior to God. But he gathers these people from the four corners of the four corners of the earth. And they are there, and no doubt they're looking at the beloved city. They're looking at the camp of the saints about that beloved city, thinking, we've done it. But I want you to know, God is still God. And the Bible says, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Not one saint of God had to lift a sword. Not one saint of God, it says, anything even had to worry about anything. We're talking about 1,000 years. There's not been any kind of war. There's not even been strong words one towards another. And all of a sudden, after the plowshares have been beaten down, after there's really none of these things to fight with, and here comes an army. And God says, boom, that's it. You say, hey, could it be like that? Well, the Bible just says, fire came down from heaven and devoured them. That sounds pretty final to me. You say, how can that happen? Because God is God. And that's how that can happen. When you know the God that I know, you realize that anything's possible. And finally, that moment that we've all been waiting for. The devil that deceived them, that's deceiving the ages now, the devil that has wreaked such havoc in this world, he finally meets his end. The Bible says in verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So he's taken and he's cast into that lake of fire. He's reunited with the beast and the false prophet. And this time it's not for a season. This time it's not for 1,000 years. This time it's forever. And the Bible says forever and ever he's tormented. Day and night. Heaven will be so glorious for us that the Bible helps us to understand that for us it's going to be one eternal day where time really doesn't matter. But I noticed what the Bible said here, and I was thinking about this. I didn't read this anywhere. I just thought about what it said. We think about eternity as being one eternal day. But notice what it says about these that are in the lake of fire and brimstone. It says, they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. While time won't matter to us, time to them will be horrible. And he helps us to realize that there's going to be something to them. They're thinking about day and night. If I could just make it through another day, but there's never any relief. By the way, we're going to see next week that there's going to be a whole lot more join them in the lake of fire when they stand before a great white throne. So tonight, are you ready to meet the Lord? It's not about scaring people into being saved. But don't play a game. Don't act like you're something that you're not. Salvation is something you can know that you have. It's something that God's given to us. It's a simple understanding of who we are, sinners, and who He is, the Savior, and putting our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. You know? It's not being good or being a church member or being baptized. It's about trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Being prepared for eternity. You've heard this statement so many times before. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven that we never thought would be there. There's going to be a lot of people not there that we thought for sure would be there. But there'll be nobody miss heaven that has done what the Bible says. Amen. When it comes to being saved. Amen. Not one. Not one. So dear friends, the only person that you'd fool tonight is yourself. Trust Christ. Christ alone. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through Him and through His shed blood. Through what He did on the cross of Calvary. And through the resurrection. Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you have friends, loved ones that doesn't know Jesus as Savior? Let's be ready. Let's be ready to meet the Lord at the judgment seat by saying we told them about Jesus. We witnessed to them about the Lord. We helped them to understand that they needed to know Christ as Savior. That's our responsibility now that we're saved. We can't save them, but we have to warn. We have to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was thinking about this, and I've put this preaching this off for weeks because I didn't have a full understanding of it all. And tonight I come to you telling you I still don't have a full understanding of it all. But there are certain things. The things that I preach are things that I feel assured about, or I wouldn't preach them to you. I was thinking about how wonderful heaven's going to be. I was thinking how nice it'd be right now to not have a devil to worry about. I was thinking about, I grew up, every preacher I ever heard preach said, we'll get to be the mayor of Kingsport. That's what they always said. On the city council of Kingsport. But I, as I read this, I just want what God has for me. And I'll have it. Now, I do believe that He rewards us according to the deeds that we do. And I do know that we will reign with Him. That means we'll have authority with Him. Wherever it is, my place that He gives me will be according to what I've done with the talents and the abilities that He's given me. And it's the same thing with you. Do you realize that we that are saved are going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? That everything's going to be okay. But if we live for Him, it'll be better. when we get there. There's a judgment day coming for all of us. It's either at the Bema or the Great White Throne. Bema for those that are saved, Great White Throne for those that are not. Well, I'll tell you tonight, I make preparations to be sure I'm at the Bema. And if I know I'm going to be at the Bema, I would do what I can to receive the rewards, all the rewards I can possibly get. I say it, we must do all we can. I'm not going to say I will do. We must do if we want to receive the rewards. I need to do better, so much better. How about you tonight? Is God speaking to you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. And we thank you for what you've given to us in your word. I pray, Lord, that we've gotten a better understanding of certain things, and while things may not be totally clear, we leave that up to you, trusting you with these events that are still in the future. But Lord, help us to live this day and this time for thee, and help us to do with our life what your will is. Help us to be faithful and true, Lord, until you either rapture us out or you call us by way of the grave. Lord, help us to not be ashamed when we stand before thee. For anybody here tonight that's not saved, I pray that this night they'll trust thee. Lord, as we think about the things that are to come, Lord, help us to find great peace and great assurance in the fact that we can know Jesus as Savior. And Lord, be with thee. We pray these things in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to quietly stand to your feet tonight. Piano begins to play.